Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Welcome back to the Over the Monster podcast postseason edition, not for the Red Sox, but for Major League Baseball. I'm Brian Joyner, as always, and I'm with me is Dan Secatore. Dan
Joyner,
how you doing?
What's happening? I'm not doing that great today, to be honest with you. Partly because of this podcast. Preparing for this podcast has depressed me. Because it has reminded me of how much I truly despise this new postseason format. I mean, I really hate it. I don't know if you have strong feelings, but there's just going to be so many bad teams that are going to make the playoffs going forward. We are going to see it sometime in the next 40 years. If this postseason system stays in place, we're going to see a 500 team win the World Series, or a team that's under 500, possibly.
I mean, you say that, and that's absolutely true, but it basically already happened.
It did already happen. You're right. Well, so yeah, with
the Cardinals were I believe
they I have
82 and 80.
Yep, they were 83 and 79, I think.
Okay.
I briefly looked at the last 20 years of Major League Baseball to see how many more bad teams would be making the playoffs under this system. Teams that won 84 wins would have made the postseason twice. Teams that won 83 wins would have made the postseason 1, 2, 3, 4 times, including last year with the Reds. Teams that won only 82 wins would have made it twice, including, by the way, so that awful Cardinals team, that 2006 Cardinals team, widely regarded as one of the worst World Series champions of all time, they would have been joined in 2006 by the 82 and 80 Houston Astros in the postseason. And then the worst one of all, you ready for this, Brian? In 2017, the third American League wild card would have been a three-way tie between the Royals, the Angels, and the Rays, who are all 80 and 82. That was just 5 years ago under this system. So, this is going to happen. We're going to have a team that's under 500 win the World Series at some point. And I just hate it. I just hate it. It's all that, like, the postseason is already such a crapshoot, and it kind of creates like an existential dilemma for me, because I'm like, whenever that happens, whenever a team like the Cardinals, those 06 Cardinals win the World Series, it's like, well, why? What was I just paying attention to for the last 6 months? Like, does it matter at all if we're just going to kind of flip a coin for the playoffs? And like, that's just the more teams you introduce into this, the just the more random it becomes. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
How dare you defile the great works of, was it Jared Weaver or Jason Weaver?
In the 06 Cardinals? Who were we talking about? It wasn't Jason. Wait a minute. It was Jared Weaver.
Yeah. Who would just like went nuclear that playoffs.
Yeah.
It was Jared Weaver.
It was Jared or Jeff, right? That was his brother was Jeff.
Oh, Jason. Jeff. Yeah, it was Jeff Weaver. Jeff, yeah. Jason Weaver doesn't exist. Right. I was thinking.
Well, they might have a third brother. Who knows?
His name would be Jason if he exists. It absolutely would. Yep. I agree with you when the Red Sox are in the playoffs. When they're not, I like it because it gives more fun playoff content. When the Red Sox are in, it's a disgrace unless the Red Sox got in that way. But it's still sort of a disgrace.
I'm not even sure it is more fun, though. There's too many teams. You can't keep track of everyone that's in the postseason. Predictions mean nothing now.
Yeah, but you give it, like, 3 days, 4 days, and, like, you don't even pay attention to the team that loses the single game.
Yeah.
You just don't pay attention to them. They're just gone. They didn't really make
it. Well, that's a thing I liked about the last system was that it expanded the playoffs. They added a team, but it somehow seemed to make the playoffs more exclusive because that one game was such a joke. I mean, yeah, if you made the one game playoff and you lost, like you said, it didn't even feel like you're in the playoffs. I don't know. I thought they had something with the last format, and then they went ahead and they did this, and it didn't solve any problem. You know, that's the other thing. The three times that the playoffs have been changed in my lifetime, the first two times they changed the format in response to something that everyone thought was a problem. Right? Like in the 90s, you had four expansion teams coming in, two big divisions was no longer enough. They wanted to do three divisions, so you got to even up the playoff field, so you had a wild card. They were trying to fix a problem there. And then everyone thought that system created a problem by taking away juice from the division races, because you know you constantly had, like, the Red Sox and Yankees were frequently the top two teams in the American League. But the division race between them meant nothing because they both knew they were making the postseason. So they added the second wild card in the one-game playoff to fix that problem. This expansion wasn't done to fix any problem. It was just done because the owners wanted more money. Like, that's it. That's it.
Well, the people who are making decision decide what their problem is, and their problem, they've decided through their continued support of Rob Manfred, is not having enough money.
Right. And I don't think...
And you give... This is why the NFL 17-game schedule makes me sort of, like, side-eye it. You leave anything with, like, an odd number or, like, that can easily... And it becomes popular. An odd number of something, the chances of them rounding it into an even number, it's like, well, hey, why don't we just do more of that?
Oh, of course.
Thing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's always going to happen. Yeah. Like...
And we're just
right
so...
Right now, as... I get it. I get what you're saying. It's starting. You've seen basketball, I take it.
I actually haven't.
Well, in basketball, they parody this very thing. And they have it's bigger than an NCAA bracket, talking about the playoffs of the basketball stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what I get looking at this baseball postseason picture. However, I will reiterate, when I have no dog in the fight, I'm happy. You know what? I think I'm happy because I like a lot of the teams in there this year, yeah. More so than I like the thing. I think right now, I'm just looking at it on my screen right now. Because, folks, what we are doing...
Should we introduce the topic of the podcast?
Yes.
10 minutes into it? Is this a good time to do that?
This Over the Monster podcast. We'll be drafting playoff teams to root for this postseason. But we are doing it on... we're doing it today, because if we don't do it today, we're going to miss some of our draftees will no longer be eligible. So with that, you know what we feel about the system so far. Let's just go right into the draft, as you undoubtedly won last time, and allowed me to go first and lose last time. I'm going to give you the first pick in the draft, and may God have mercy on your soul.
All right. I do not think I'm going to win this draft. As I said to you on Slack, I have a lot of sort of weird rooting interest rules that I think most people are going to think are absurd, but they work for me. So I think you have the edge in this one. And that's also, I should also say, I have a feeling I know exactly who your number one pick is, and I can probably say word for word what your reasoning is going to be. So I feel confident the direction you're going. I'm going to probably go in a slightly different direction. So one of the things that I want to see in my World Series champion is I want them to be a good team. And this sort of relates to what I was just saying. Like, I don't want to feel like the 6 months of Major League Baseball was just a waste as some mediocre team gets to win the championship. So I always want to see like a team that's at least a 95 win team. And I want to see a team that has had some stars that have played like stars and led them there. So when you look at the field of good teams this year, a couple of them are eliminated from contention from the top pick for obvious reasons, Yankees and Astros. So I am going with the team that I most want to see the World Series this year is the New York Mets. They are a very good team. They are loaded with stars that I want to see do well. I mean, just, you know, the thought of watching Scherzer and DeGrom pitch back to back in the World Series, and then Scherzer, you know, throw 7 shutout innings and come out of the bullpen 2 days later. Like, I love that shit. Francisco Lindor is one of the most fun players in the world to watch. And then, of course, to piggyback on a thing that's a constant theme in our podcasts, my God, it would drive Yankee fans insane. And if, as we discussed last week, if the Mets can follow up winning the World Series by signing Aaron Judge, well, I don't really know what else I could ask for out of this postseason. So my number one pick, New York Mets.
I considered having them at the top of my list.
Really?
But I live here, and all my friends are Mets fans, and I prefer them miserable. So I would prefer... That's
understandable.
But if that doesn't happen, they would have been high on my list for the exact reason. They have so many likable players and so many legitimately great players. Mm-hmm. And one of the greatest gimmicks we've seen in years. And I think the further they go, the more like... the Timmy Trumpet thing can define the entire season everybody,
yeah.
Not just for the Mets.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob,
so that
Bob wrote a really good piece that just published on the site this morning about Koji and his entrance during his prime. But I mean, the Edwin Diaz entrance, like, I don't even think any closers can do entrances after Edwin Diaz. No one is ever going to top this.
I mean, they did. The only step is to go legit wrestling entrance after that. That's it.
That might be where we're
headed. I'm not even kidding. Like, that's the next. So, okay, how predictable am I? Who am I picking here? Wait. First, walk me through the reasoning, then you're taking block.
Okay. You are motivated by seeing the Red Sox front office be humiliated right now, correct?
I'm not giving you any feedback.
Okay.
So you talk me through.
Your number one pick is the Los Angeles Dodgers. You want to see Mookie Betts win a World Series without any asterisks attached to it, as 2020 arguably had. You want to see Mookie Betts win a World Series when the entire country is paying attention to it in a way that they weren't in 2020. And you want to see Mookie Betts win a World Series with the Dodgers to increase the pressure on the Red Sox to re-sign Xander and extend Devers.
I am flabbergasted and happy at how wrong that is.
No,
I like to not be. What? I like to not be that. I like to not be that predictable. No, way off.
You're kidding me.
Way off. First of all, none of the top four seeds on principle, like I'm giving you material to beat me with here, but I don't think what I say is going to change your picks. Though among them, obviously, the Dodgers are the one I, you know, would like the most. Which leaves all the wild card teams. You know, I considered San Diego because, San Diego is probably 1B for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking through this, like, logically, the Mets are also okay for me. So I'm, like, not so invested in that. I'm softened on St. Louis this year because I know they're just going to win some. That matchup, I kind of have nothing against either of those teams. Now, the Mariners would be an easy choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the Blue Jays are a very cool team. And whoever goes through has to beat the Astros. So I don't really want to pick between those. Now, the other wild card game, the winner plays the Yankees. And it's the fucking Rays against the Guardians. And the Guardians, what if in their first season, this is their first season, right, as Guardians, mm-hmm. Win in their first season after being cursed with their stupid racist name, become the major league story for doing something good, beat the Rays, then beat the Yankees. Give me the Guardians at number one.
Okay, that is a good pick. You didn't even mention Tito Francona, I don't think, unless I missed it.
I didn't. I was thinking of it, and then I just got going, yeah. And I forgot. And like, yes, the cherry on top is Tito.
Yeah, I did think about that exact Guardian scenario, winning the World Series the first year after they drop Wahoo and the Indians. And I did think about Terry Francona. So I did suspect they would be high on your list. They are actually very low on my list because here's another weird rule that comes into play. I think there should always be one there should always be one heartbreakingly cursed baseball team in Major League Baseball. And obviously, for decades, that was us and the Cubs. And so, actually, in the 2016 World Series, I was rooting for Cleveland in that World Series because I wanted the Cubs to continue to be cursed. And I was only okay with the Cubs winning if they did so in a way that was so heartbreaking that it sort of transferred their curse onto Cleveland, which is exactly what happened. That was an amazing 7-game series with an absolutely epic 7th game. And I feel like when that happened, the 2016 World Series, that made Cleveland essentially the most cursed team in Major League Baseball. You can point to teams that have never won the World Series, like the Mariners and the Rangers and some of the other, you know, more recent expansion teams. But the Indians, with the way they have lost so many World Series in recent years, starting with the 90s when they had one of the best lineups of all time and lost a World Series to the Marlins in 7 games, and then 2016, I like the idea that that Cleveland is now the cursed team in Major League Baseball, trying to get up the mountain, and I want them to stay there for a while. I just think it's good for the game to have a team that's cursed.
Fair points all. In principle, I have nothing against it, but in practically speaking, I know a lot of people from Cleveland, and I know, and so, as such, that like, but I don't live there. It's not like the Mets where I'm like, no, I want you guys to stay miserable. But part of it is the people and Mets fans are going to be miserable either way.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just want to deny them temporary happiness.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the Cleveland World Series would bring permanent happiness on some level. And what if they then transferred it to the Padres?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they beat the Padres in seven, I guess they could transfer it to the Padres. Who else could they transfer it to? I guess
Here's my other thing. It's been a long time, and eventually these things end. And if they went through this playoff field to do it, it would be worthy of, like, it would be awesome. It would, as much as I agree with you on that, somebody will step on rakes all the time. Yeah,
no, that's true.
And if they busted through here, given the how much I loathe the Astros and the Yankees and the Braves, I wouldn't hate it, and the Rays. So they could carve out a path where they just took out the worst people and just, like, Luke Skywalker.
You absolutely are right about that. I did not consider who their lineup of opponents could potentially be. That really is a murderer's row of everyone's least favorite teams.
And they might be out of it by, like, Monday. Yep. I don't know when they play. But so, all right. Oh, no, they're in a three-game series? Oh, these are all three-game series now.
Yeah.
Oh, better. So, yeah, I thought they were – I forgot. See, I appreciate that, though. I don't like the one game.
I didn't mind the one game. I mean, is it dumb and random? Yes, but you know, you have your chance to win the division. If you can't win the division,
actually, now that you talk about it, I kind of prefer the one game. Just get those over
just
with.
Just get it over just, with. Yeah.
Just get okay. Like I said, all right, your second pick.
All right, my second pick is this is an easy one, I think, and you've already mentioned them, the Toronto Blue Jays. They fit most of the criteria I've already mentioned. They are a good team. They are loaded with stars, and young stars. They are, you know, a quote unquote cool young team. I always like to see cool young teams win the World Series and then sort of threaten to take over the league over the next 4 or 5 years. It's a good fan base. It's a front office that seems actually interested in winning and paying for them to win. There are no curse implications there. And of course, you know, if an AL East team has to win it, I sure as hell don't want it to be the Yankees or the Rays. So give me the Blue Jays.
I don't think I would have chosen there, but I've always liked, as long as there wasn't the, it seems to me like, except for maybe very, very recently, not this year, the Red Sox and the Blue Jays have not really been contending for playoff spots. I don't know if it's like I'm making that up, but it seems like whenever the Blue Jays have been really good, the Red Sox haven't been.
Yeah, I think that is mostly true.
And because of my fond memories of the 93 and 94, or not 94 World Series, obviously, 92 and 93 World Series, I've always, like, that place gets loud, they get rowdy.
Fun fact about Skydome or Rogers Center. Only sporting event I've ever been to where I was thrown up on by a complete stranger.
Well, we haven't gone to a game together yet, so
that's true. Literally just sitting there, and all of a sudden, like, my back is wet, and I turned.
I actually went to a game at Exhibition Stadium the year before Skydome opened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've not been to. So anyhow, great pick. I got nothing against it. I don't think I would choose them yet. I did realize now that I agree with your Cleveland logic completely, but I just apply it to Seattle, which is the only reason I'm not taking them here.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to be the cursed franchise. It's like, Cleveland's been through it all. Seattle thinks they've been through it, and now they may, oh, we haven't made it. No. You need to get closer and then lose. You need to make the World Series, then get it ripped off away.
Yeah. And of course, they're only even making the postseason in an expanded format as well.
Right. So, like, no. They have more suffering left. Yeah. If Cleveland's ended, that'd be fine. I'm picking the Padres because of Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, even though...
That's it.
So, I love the Padres. I have loved the Padres for the last three seasons. I think I mentioned before they've been my West Coast MLB TV team. But another weird rule I have is I don't like it when a team wins the World Series without its best player or without its sort of, I guess arguably Juan Soto is now the best player on the team. But Tatis has been the face of that team for the last 3 years. I thought it was a huge. I was very much rooting against the Braves last year because I thought it was a bummer that Acuña wasn't there. And I don't like that. I don't like a team winning the World Series without its best player. So with no Tatis, the Padres fell way down on my list.
That's fair. And I actually felt as much about the Braves last year at the time as I did and still do about the 2006 Cardinals. The only thing that's changed my mind a little bit is how good Atlanta has been this year. And I was like, even with Acuña, but it's like, wow, these guys are just good. Yeah. I mean, they don't have Freddie Freeman. So that, and also that's like a value-wise pretty close swap, as anyone could be.
Yeah. The Padres have the lowest run differential in the field, so they don't, at least this, the pitching's just not there this year. They don't meet my great team criteria for winning the World Series.
They do have name pitchers, though, and if they turned it on, people would forget the regular season in a heartbeat. Yeah. So,
And Blake Snell getting another chance in the World Series. That would be an interesting storyline.
Just imagine a game at that park and like Soto going yard. That's all I want. Yeah. All right.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry Bahamas.
Round three, you're up.
All right, so let's see. We went Mets, Guardians, Blue Jays, Padres. Okay, so the next team on my board, I won't go into this because I already did it in your voice, Los Angeles Dodgers. I kind of think the 2020 World Series didn't count. I love that it is Mookie Betts. I love that it is a team that's just going all out to spend to win. Are they dominant? Sure. Are they still an incredibly fun team to watch? Yeah, they are, because they're dominant because they have so many interesting, exciting players on the team. So I love Dodger Stadium. I love watching Dodger playoff games in October. I love Mookie. I don't mind at all that they are, you know, slowly becoming baseball's behemoth. Maybe that will start bothering me in a couple of years, but it doesn't right now. So I'll take the Dodgers.
They're not slowly becoming baseball's behemoth.
They are.
They were slowly becoming baseball's behemoth like 8 years ago. Yeah. They are. They're the model friend. I mean, they're not. It's not I mean, it kind of is replicatable in some places, but. That they are, if only looking at results, you'd say, oh, well, what about the Astros? Like, well, we know why the Astros aren't the model franchise. So, yeah, now it gets a little hard for me.
It got really hard for me after this.
My instinct is that I would and will root for any Seattle series, except for I don't expect them to win. I won't expect them to win any of them. Mm-hmm. Unless, and this is possible, Julio Rodriguez just goes Miguel Cabrera, mm-hmm. which, like, if that happens, and this is like the 2001 Patriots sort of getting into the playoffs and then just, like, hitting that moment to hit the best version of themselves that eventually came back. I know you don't like football. Man, shit, I think I just talked myself into them.
Go ahead, because that was actually my exact reasoning with the Mariners. They're too mediocre to be one of my top picks for winning the World Series. But I did note that I would be okay with it if that exact scenario plays out. If it's Julio Rodriguez,
but I don't even think it's if. I think it's the only way it happens.
It's the only way it happens.
So that would, so like it's those two things go together, and because of that shit, yeah, I'll take him.
Yeah, if Julio Rodriguez, who's already had an all-time rookie season, puts this team on his back and sort of announces himself as the next great player in baseball, that's, yeah, I mean, that would be fun as hell to watch. So I had no problem with that.
All right. Now it's your pick, and I think this is the easiest one of the draft, though maybe I'm wrong.
Well, all right. So we have the Braves left. We have the Yankees. We have the Rays, the Astros, the Cardinals, and the Phillies.
Yes.
I guess this is easy now that I look at this list. Had the Braves not won last year, they would be pretty high on my list because I do love the players on that team. I do hate the fan base, so that's sort of the rock and the hard place that you're given with them. So my next pick is the Philadelphia Phillies.
It's the only choice.
It is. It kind of is. It's again kind of a mediocre team, but loaded with interesting players. I mean, at least one of the most interesting players in baseball. You got Dave Dombrowski. You have the Dave Dombrowski giving the Red Sox comeuppance factor there, and it's a fun fan base. It's a fun ballpark. Phillies winning the World Series, I'd be all right with that.
I'm just contemplating jumping off my ledge. Choosing. Actually, I'm not, because I know exactly who I'm taking.
This is a really tough final five.
It is and it isn't for me, and I'll explain why. The final four or the final five are the Rays, Yankees, Astros, Braves, and Cardinals. I'm taking the Cardinals because as nauseating as it would be if they do this in Molina's and Pujols' final season, I don't even like Molina, but I do like Pujols. The Cardinals are sunk cost to me. It's like the Steelers. Like, they're always going to be there. They will win a World Series from time to time. Against this group of absolute scum and villainy, the hokey guys can just win it for once. I don't care. Yeah. Like, if they're going to win it against those guys, fine. Take one of those guys out. Go crazy.
Yeah, I don't hate the Cardinals as much as most people on the internet do. I always... I've on a couple of different occasions I've never been to a Cardinals game in St. Louis, but I've been to a game that the Cardinals have played on the road. I've been to one at Citi Field. I've been to one at Fenway. Those games are fun. You know, Cardinals fans really show up and they bring in energy. So I'm always sort of excited to go to a Cardinals game because the fan base travels so well. I mean, Pujols, like we have. The last 8 years in Anaheim, or however long it was, has really kind of done a lot of damage to our memories of Albert Pujols and just how great he was.
He's the guy who doesn't get the tungsten arm treatment. He went to the Angels and just wasn't good. It was the opposite scenario as the...
I mean, the home runs were still there for a couple of seasons, but you're right. I'm watching him try to do anything else other than hit some home runs off righties was brutal. And it's just sort of nice to. I mean, he has a claim. He could argue that he's one of the top five players of all time.
Hitters.
Yeah, top hitter. Sure, sure. Although he was a hell of a defensive first baseman too.
But
it's first base, so yeah. I mean, he can make an argument that he's top five of all time. That's
this really, year really special, helps,
and yeah. Like, so I think getting a chance to watch him in the postseason one more time, we should try to appreciate it. So yeah, I don't hate that pick.
My confession is that as I've gotten older, the Cardinal, like, there's a certain level of folksiness that's actually endearing, obviously. Like, I'm not a robot. And I, as I've gotten older and, like, my parochial hate of the Cardinals and just, like, what the meme version of Cardinals fandom is, as I've sort of been like, oh, wait, I could just like the team and be positive and not be a psycho online about it.
Yeah.
And especially like, I kind of just want to wear some of their gear because it's so fucking fly. The past, the blue and the Cardinal sitting on the bat. It's cool. I haven't been to a game, but I have been to St. Louis several times. And I don't know. They're like, the sad truth is that they're like the nice version of the Red Sox, like the regional fan base. They really, really have that. That's not made up. Like I have a friend who grew up in Western Virginia and he was a Cardinals fan. Like it's just how it works.
Yeah. They're everywhere out there. I spent a year of my life in Iowa. And it was, I mean, everyone was either a Cubs or a Cardinals fan, and it's a fun rivalry when you're in the middle of it like that, which we on the East Coast really don't see. But yeah, I don't hate the Cardinals as much as someone who writes about baseball on the internet is supposed to. I hope I don't lose my privileges for that reason.
All right. Well, now it's your fourth pick, and now it's just the Dregs.
It is the Dregs. This again, though, looking at the final four, Yankees, Rays, Astros, Braves, is, I think, a relatively easy pick for me. So I will go with the Braves. Really, the only thing about, well, there are two things about the Braves right now that I don't like. I don't like their dumb suburban stadium. And then I the tomahawk chop. I can't believe we're still doing that in 2022. But other than that, the team is really loaded with likable stars. And did they win it last year? Yes, but like I said, they did it without Acuna, and I thought that was a real bummer. So I would like to see him get a chance to shine in the postseason stage after he missed out on it last year. So it's really just the stadium and the chop that I hate about the Braves. And even the chop, I have to admit, from just a purely aesthetic standpoint, if I didn't know what the fans were trying to do, what the context of what the chop was, like, it does sound and look cool. If it could just be something other than making fun of an entire ethnic group that was wiped out, it would look cool. But of course, you can't divorce the context from that. This is where, God, and this has been floated before, but the Braves should really change their name to the Hammers after Hank Aaron. And then they could keep the logo and they could keep the chop and just change it to the, the Hammer Whack, whatever dumb name you want to call it. Like, God, that would be, it's a no-brainer. It's right there. That's all they got to do. That's all they got to fix for me to like the Braves.
I would have picked them second to last.
Really?
Because of the two reasons you said, but look, does the chop sound cool, context independent? Of course it does. But fuck them and change your fucking name. The Guardians did it.
Yeah.
See how easy that was? The Hammers, as you said, is right there.
It's right there.
And until I just, you'll find out. Okay, so among these remaining teams, I mean, the Rats. Give me the Rats. At least it would humiliate Chaim Bloom in some way.
Would it?
No, nothing. He has no shame.
So I don't know.
I mean, he probably. Hold on. Hold on. He probably has shame. The way he acts professionally is what is a profession. He is doing the job he's being asked to do, and he's responding in the way he's expected to respond. I don't know if the guy has. I'm sure he has shame. He's a human being. John Henry, different story. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. The Rays winning the World Series may only sort of give him a further platform and leash to keep spending down. Here. If he's, look, the Rays can do it. The Rays do it by excelling on the margins and by finding the Harold Ramirez's of the world. Like, it can be done here too. I don't want the Rays to ever win the World Series. I hate what the Rays do to baseball. I hate the opener. I hate that they are almost, they're anti-player in their outlook and how they build teams and how they build rosters. I think it's a miracle, and I love that they signed Wander Franco. But other than him, there's nothing about the team I like. I hate the way they approach the game, and I don't ever want to see them rewarded for it. The Astros are way ahead of the Rays.
It beats the alternative for me. And also, if you squint, it's not 1-1, but there's a very Patriots-like attitude there. But of course, the amount of money in the system is a deciding factor. I don't know. I would not pick the Astros over. You're up next. You're picking the Astros.
I'm picking the Astros. And like I said, I had the Astros above the Rays. The cheating scandal is hilarious. It was also, we're having this conversation 3 years too late, but the cheating scandal, in my opinion, was a little bit overblown. The Giants were stealing signs when Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard around the world in 1951. Like, this is not, and they were using technology to do it. They had this whole like bell system set up in the clubhouse. So this is not new. I hate their response to it, but it also has made some certain regular season matchups a little more fun to have a team that's so obviously a heel in there. Again, as I've been saying, like, they're an elite team. They are loaded with exciting players. I can't get myself worked up about the cheating as everyone else can. I get it. It's cheating. I think they should have been punished more. For me, I hate what the Rays do to the game more than the Astros.
I mean, that's fair. I don't give a shit that they cheated. They seem to be, like, to a person, just a bunch of assholes. No, mm-hmm. I do like Jordan. So, like, I didn't say anything bad about him. He's also very, 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 very big, so I'd like to personally make him mad.
So, a quick story about the Houston Astros being run by assholes. For years, I was in a fantasy league with a bunch of guys that I mostly didn't know that well. It was one of my very good friends from school was in it, and it was mostly his friend group. So I didn't really know them. And there was one guy in the league. Who he always told me, I can't stand this guy. But he won almost every year, and they always talked about how he was really good friends with someone else they grew up with who worked for a major league front office. I never knew the details, but my friend hated both these guys, both the guy that was in the league and this major league front office person. And he would always grumble to me that, like, oh, this guy's such an asshole. He never gave me any details, because the other guys in the league, I guess, did like this guy a little bit more. But he always told me he was an asshole. So fast forward a couple of years, I watch the Astros defeat the Yankees in the ALCS. Jose Altuve's iconic home run off Aroldis Chapman. And the next morning, I wake up and I see all over on Twitter is the story of that Astros assistant GM or whoever he was who was harassing the female reporters in the clubhouse. And I see that story on Twitter, and then I get a text message from my friend saying, it's always nice when you get national media confirmation that a person you've always hated is in fact a giant asshole. That was the guy that he grew up with and hated, was the guy who was in the clubhouse screaming at female reporters after, God, who was even the player? Who was the domestic abuser who they signed?
Ozuna?
No, that's the Braves. Who was it? God, everyone knows him, the Astros relief pitcher that they signed down the stretch.
Oh, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah. And then so and there's that guy and he was fired. And it turns out this was the guy that my friend had grown up with and had been telling me for years was an asshole.
One of my all-time personal enemies has become a CNN talking head, and it's just
Do you want to give disgusting. Some more details on that?
Nope. Nobody's
listening to the pod at this point anymore. We've been going for
good,
almost an
hour.
Good,
because now I have to talk about why I'm picking the Yankees. Well, obviously, I have to take the Yankees here, and I don't want them to win. And I would not want them to win. I detest the Astros. I detest them. But I would want them to beat the Yankees just to humiliate the Yankees. However,
you don't have to. You can skip this pick if you want. We can just pretend. No. We can pretend there are only 11 teams in the field.
And I would like, but I would prefer the Braves over the Astros. And I mean, I guess, and it, yeah, I mean, the Yankees are my last pick no matter what, because they're the Yankees and it's just going to be nauseating.
Yeah, there's no scenario where I will ever root for them. Even, I don't know how you felt. I'll even the 2001 World Series.
No. Here's the one scenario, the Rays.
The Rays. So you. Were...
No, not me. You.
No. I would still root for the Rays over the Yankees. I still would. And you're right. That's a case where all of my rules are being thrown out. The Yankees are the team with star players. The Yankees are the one with a strong fan base. The Yankees are the one with the front office that's putting a genuine effort into winning and paying players what they are owed. But no, even there, the Yankees are still on the bottom of the list. There is nothing that will ever put the Yankees more than last for me here. I was still rooting against them in the 2001 World Series. If that couldn't do it, nothing ever will.
What? Oh, I mean, I was. I lived here and I was. Oh, yeah. No, that's one of the 2001 World Series, one of the best. Well, let me end on this story. So at the time I had this girlfriend who was like 10 years older than me that I was living with. And I had just moved to New York. And she's ostensibly a Yankees fan. We're in Queens, and I'm watching, and I'm like jumping all around. She's like reading a book or something. And I'm like, the Yankees lost. This is the first time in like 4 years. The Yankees lost, and it was amazing. She didn't even look up. And she's like, nah, they'll win it next year. I was like, all right. All right. It's like, I now I've met the type. Guess what? It didn't last. All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Over the Monster podcast. Feel free to chime in on how much I won by in the comments.
You won this one. Like I said, I was conceding this before it started, but that's all right.
Yeah, it's... I think this was a very good exchange of mores and like... Really, maybe some really personal information about why we root for these teams. Like some psychologists could have fun with it. And so if they do, please tag us on Twitter. I'm at Brian Joyner, Brian with a Y, Joyner with an I.
Yeah, I would love that. If this could be a mechanism, Brian, for us to undergo therapy, if there are any psychologists out there.
Free therapy.
Who want to just send us some bullet points after the podcast? Free therapy. Let us know what we need to work on.
Quickly, anything you want to recommend that non-baseball related?
Non-baseball related. Yeah. So I think we're gonna. Yeah, we should add this to the end of our podcasts. Some non-baseball related recommendations because you know it's important for everyone to live a well-rounded life. So yeah, I will recommend something this year or this week. I'm gonna recommend a TV show. It is called Bad Sisters. Have you heard of it?
I have.
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay, so it's from Sharon Horgan, who, if you haven't seen Catastrophe, go watch that first and watch that now. Catastrophe is one of the best TV shows of the past 10 years. It's from Sharon Horgan. It's about this family of five adult sisters, and they are Irish, and one of them is married to just an absolutely manipulative, emotionally abusive asshole, and the other four sisters plot to kill him. And it's kind of a reverse murder mystery because the show starts with him being dead, and then the rest of the season, which I think only has one episode left, the rest of the season, you are seeing their attempts at how they can kill him. And it's not actually revealed until the end, which I think is coming out tonight or tomorrow. So Bad Sisters, Apple Plus, wonderful TV show. And if you don't want to watch the Rays or the Yankees one of these nights over the next couple of weeks, yeah, put that on instead.
Since you did a TV show, I'll just do a video game. It's Kirby the Forgotten Land for Nintendo Switch. So I got this so my kids could play it. And my son is 5 and my daughter is 7. My daughter is able to do more things in the game, but my son is able to play it. But he has me face all the bosses. But they have become so immersed in this world that on the playground, they act it out. And when they draw stuff, they draw the characters. And it turns out, am just as immersed because now I am playing the game on hard mode, trying to do everything you can in the game. And I have just come to the realization that, like, I like it because it's this. No, I just like the game as an adult. And if you have kids, especially, Kirby. Now, Mark Normandin, the former site manager of the site, has written, you should check his newsletter out. He's written many articles about the 30th anniversary of Kirby this year. And I got to admit, I was reading all those of like, why would someone care this much? Now that I've played the game, even as a 44-year-old man, very charming. This also shows you how much of my intake is based on the age of my children.
Yeah, I follow Mark on Twitter, and I feel like I am completely video game illiterate. I was the kid on my block growing up whose parents didn't get him a Nintendo. So my only video game experiences were in other friends' basements, and I was just awful because I didn't have it. I was awful, so I didn't enjoy playing, and so I wouldn't play more, and so I never got into it. And I follow Mark on Twitter now, and yeah, like one out of every four tweets he sends out, like I don't understand the words in the order he presents them at all.
I mean, I grew up with video games, but I maybe played one Kirby game. It didn't make an impact on me. And then I didn't have a console for 15 years until I bought a Switch this year.
I don't know who Kirby is. This was somebody who was around when we were kids.
Oh, yeah. This is the 30th anniversary of the first Kirby game.
Kirby?
It's a pink ball that, you know what? People listening to this know it or they don't know it.
It's a pink ball?
Yes.
Kirby the pink ball?
You just look it up after this. Okay. All right. That's it for us today.
Hold on. I'm looking this up right now.
Okay.
Kirby the pink ball.
Don't write the pink ball. Just write.
Well, it worked. Kirby. Okay. I can see him. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't recognize this guy at all.
Nothing.
This was around in the 90s? People were playing this in the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I guess I was just playing Mario Kart and Mortal Kombat.
You just said you didn't have a video game.
Caught no, I didn't. Lie. I said I played in friends' basements.
Those are the games you would play in friends' basements.
Yeah, I don't recognize this at all, but it looks, yeah, I don't know, it looks interesting.
I'm telling the people that it is. Now I have done so, and that's it for us, and we'll be back next week with another draft of some sort, hopefully another one that I win, but we need to decide the topic first. Until then, Dan, enjoy the playoffs.
All right, take care. You're telling me who the CNN person is when we get off air here.
Okay, I will.
All right, take care.